And now, from the Fortress of Solitude, deep beneath the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, sci-fi4me.com presents The Rogues Gallery.
I have no idea who this band is. I would give them credit if I knew who they were, but this is a marching band from somewhere, and I thought it was appropriate for this week. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Rogues Gallery, a special four-night crossover event, but our episode is not going to take four episodes. We're just going to do one. My name is Jason Hunt. I am here in the bunker around the round table with Dustin Adair.
Hello.
You need to be close to the microphone. Kendall Sin.
That is actually my intro music.
Yes.
That I always have anytime I come into any room.
And James Hunt is also here with us tonight.
Greetings.
And online, joining us from various parts around the world, near St. Louis, Catherine Sanders.
Hello.
In Kansas City, Jennifer Wise.
Hey, y'all.
From Fort Worth, Texas, Mr. Jeff Hackworth.
Hello, hello.
And in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Ann Labs.
Buenas noches.
And Dave Margosian.
Howdy.
And from across the way in Kansas City here, Tim Harvey.
Hello there.
So we are loaded for bear and a lot of things to unpack tonight. So here's what I thought we'd do since we've got the four-night crossover events, Alien, Heroes versus Aliens. We'll do that part after the break. So let's talk Gotham for a minute, and then we'll do the break. And then
just
we'll
one
do,
minute.
Well, because Gotham is the one show, and we should be able to get through that fairly quickly because only half of us like it.
Jason.
Wait, Ann, are you with me still on Gotham?
Yes.
Are we the only ones?
Yeah, I'm there too.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm here. Okay, yeah, Jeff, see? Yeah, you're right, about half of us.
Yeah,
I have
about
a feeling
half.
That
I'm a convert.
I have a feeling that if I watched it, I would like it.
I think you would, actually.
Maybe.
Because I love the Gonzo Crazy.
It is Gonzo Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
it's way beyond Gonzo Crazy.
See, I didn't like this episode this week.
I shockingly did. I thought I wouldn't.
To me, it was too much soap opera stupid.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Just really.
Can I make a remark about the soap opera stupid?
Go for it.
Lee's dress was the ugliest dress I've seen on TV, and that includes my soap operas. It looks like they're trying to cut her in half at the waist. It was awful. And the wedding was awful.
Yes,
and
the wedding was ridiculous.
And then the honeymoon was awful.
Well, we only saw really one shot
of
the wedding.
The show here, yeah, I was sitting here talking about how awful it is.
And it was a really dark ceremony, but a lot of light coming in through those blue stained glass windows.
But it was the most joyless mafia related religious ceremony since the christening in Godfather 2.
That's very true.
Well, and the other thing that bothered me, what bothered me about this episode is the fact that I liked the Bruce and Selena part of it better than anything else.
Wow, that's really saying something.
I'm like, wow.
Hey, you want to know why I liked it? Because any single episode that Carmine Falcone is in,
yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I love any episode that he's in. He just elevates every scene that he's in.
Well, that's because it's part of what we wanted from
it's
the beginning.
What we want.
It's the crime thing.
Because he is the only one in there that is written like a real human being.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I loved that scene. I actually loved that scene where it was just like these two goons, and then he turns and shoots him in the leg.
Yeah.
I wanted him so much to, I wanted Carmine Falcone so much to just be like, all right. Yeah, okay, I like you. I wanted him to like that. Like, he really got his respect from that because I think that's how it would have worked in real life.
Probably.
I think Carmine Falcone would have shot him in real life.
Well, Jim Gordon, to me, is one of the dumbest written characters on that show.
He's getting a little over the top. And I will say,
this
episode is getting a little bit ridiculous with all the melodrama.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that whole, his profession of love and all these different things, I was like, this is not why I tune into Gotham.
Save this malarkey
for Supergirl.
Well, see, the thing about it is, though, and we've interviewed, I think it was Andy or Debbie, somebody interviewed Ben McKenzie when he did a voice for one of the DC animateds. That's not what he sounds like in real life. And the only thing that I can think is somebody told him, do the Batman voice.
Yeah. Well, what's been funny, like, he's over this season, it has progressed.
Yeah,
it's gotten worse.
It has.
This episode was the pinnacle.
To direct an episode next.
Well, then they're all going to talk like that. Now Daniel Logue's going to be sitting there going, "Hey, buddy, what are we doing today?
What do we think about?
You should take the day off, go fishing, and get some beer." That's how Daniel Logue's going to talk.
He'll go for scotch. Yeah. What do we think about him being the acting captain right now, Harvey Bullock?
I love it.
All people.
I like it. I like it when he was just sitting behind a desk not wanting to do his job. That's what I like. That's what I want from my heart.
Now it's funny seeing him try to do his job
and he knows he's supposed to do. Of every character in this show, he has stayed consistent. He's been a rock on this show. And I remember, like, what was it in, like, second season where he kind of went away for a little bit?
Well, he was working at the bar.
Because he
quit the force.
And it was just kind of like, oh, man, you need him. Yeah. You know, you really, really do need him.
Yeah, especially anything involving Jim Gordon. I mean.
And he was also gone because Jim got transferred to Arkham.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So there was that,
and
whole
it kind of lost me through that whole bit.
Yeah,
that's what made me stop watching the show was the Arkham, and then what's her name going cuckoo bananas and
Barbara.
Yeah. She's still cuckoo bananas.
Who I like now.
She's really embraced it.
When she was a regular, you know, when she was just Jim's girlfriend. Stuff. Remember how much I hated her?
Like, wait, we all did.
She was so
everyone
boring.
I mean, go online.
Well,
you know, go
was,
to the forums. And
she
they
was
just
the
ripping
trope. She was the trope lesbian character, and
now
didn't
she's
have
awesome.
Any substance.
Yeah, now she is just so much fun. Because she's, I love her now because she's just like, she's
crazy.
So devil may care, and she will kill anybody. She doesn't care.
Well,
Barbara Keene, don't give it. She doesn't care. She'll kill
you. The part where, you know, she's in the bar and Tabitha and Butch are in the bar and Ed comes in and Butch and Tabitha are ready to kill him.
Yeah.
Right there. Just shoot him in the bar.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I'm sorry for the hand cutty offy thing." And that's it. You know,
but
no harm, no foul, and we're done.
All's fair in love and war.
Yeah, we've made our peace.
I know, but you got just the little mini guillotine that chopped her hand off. That was so adorable. And I love Butch and Tabby. I can't help it. I mean, they're the most balanced couple on Gotham right now.
How sad is that?
That's saying something.
How sad
is that?
I know, when your profession of love is, don't worry if you can't handle a knife, honey. We'll kill him together.
Well, here's what I'm wondering is what kind of dynamic, because we just got word here, I think a week ago, that Ben McKenzie and Morena Baccarin have gotten engaged. Congratulations.
Right.
Yay. Surprise. What kind of dynamic is between them at home? You know? Because
it depends if they take their work home with them.
I tell you, it's just I have nothing really good to say about Gotham, but I try.
Ben McKenzie's got somebody to practice his Batman voice against besides the mirror now. So
can you pass the butter?
I think that's about how it is. I mean, he's got to be.
Are you going to be in the next Deadpool movie?
Didn't Ben McKenzie actually play Batman in an animated movie?
Yes, he did. He actually did. Yes, he played Batman in which one was it? It was.
Was it year one?
Shoot. I'm looking at your collection.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Batman Year One. Because
Cranston played Gordon in that one.
Yeah.
Who did?
Bryan Cranston.
Oh, really?
And Buckaroo Banzai, Peter Weller, played Batman in The Dark Knight Returns animated, which was terrible.
So miscast in that part.
Oh, I know. He was terrible Batman. Terrible Batman.
Is it Killing Joke bad, or is it... as far as the casting... No,
the casting for Killing Joke was great.
It was the script.
Yeah. The Killing Joke... You know, and I still haven't seen that.
It's horrible.
I need to find it. It's terrible.
It's terrible,
and DC tries to fix the problem, the one problem,
by making it worse.
Throwing gasoline on the fire, making it worse.
Pretty much.
It is pretty twisted.
It does not leave a good taste in anybody's mouths.
No.
No. Well,
and that's disappointing.
And made far worse by the creative team behind that.
Yeah. By some... some amazing writers.
And that's the irony of the whole thing. I mean, this is Bruce Timm, and that group, and they did such a horrible thing with it. So
I couldn't believe I went to the special screening of it and walked out of there with my head hung low, and I was just like, wow, you just peed on a classic.
Yeah,
you know, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm.
So, where do we think Gotham's going next? Because we had
we saw the Joker's coming back.
The Joker's coming back.
I think it hit the dumpster fire and it's going off the cliff to hit the
I won't mind the Joker thing. See, the Joker thing in the first one lost me. I got so bored with that.
Yeah, Jerome.
Now, if they can keep...
How do they bring him back, though?
I don't know.
Is he going to be a clone? Because we cloned Bruce. Yes. I mean, there's a clone of Bruce running around, why not?
At this point in Gotham, anything is possible.
Yep.
anything is possible.
And the implications of Selina's mother showing up after all this time.
What was that about? And I don't know. Yeah, big reveal.
Yeah, where did that come from?
The second we saw that it was her, we were just like, we instantly knew it was. I was like, come on, can we get over this dramatic pause? We know who this is.
Yeah. Well, what does that do for the story, though?
Because, I don't know.
You know, Selina's all this time, Selina's like, Mom abandoned me.
Exactly.
And now here she shows up and she's got ninja skills and, you know, she helps them escape.
And at what age did she get abandoned?
Yeah, right.
Because I was under the impression that it was really young, but it was just like, well, you remember her.
Yeah, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking sideways.
Maybe Mom is going to help them take on the Court of Owls.
Well, probably.
Sure,
but
because
she does that. She comes out of nowhere and does that.
She's a ninja.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what ninjas do. They take on the Court of Owls.
What if it's in the Bible? What if her code name is Lady Shiva? I mean, that would be what this show would do.
I mean,
this show
would be the first time that Lady Shiva's been not only a character's canon mom, but a different character's suggested mother, so...
But see, this version of Gotham is just nuts enough to do that kind of thing.
Any logic is out the window. Why don't we just name everybody
character names in Gotham and then just completely butcher their backstory?
Well, Tim has said several times that this show abandoned all of the source material in canon a long time ago. So.
I believe around episode one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in an alternate universe.
No, they still got a shot of the pearls hitting the floor. They didn't abandon it. That's all you need. It's officially a Batman show.
In the next Batman movie, I think that's all they need to do. Like, let's just skip over retelling the Batman origin story and just have a little flash at the beginning of some pearls hitting the cement, and we can
everybody knows.
You guys mentioned Lady Shiva. I watched the Lego Batman something. It was some Lego Batman thing on Cartoon Network this weekend, and Batgirl and Nightwing.
The one where the Justice League has to babysit Gotham while he's gone.
Lady Shiva was always hitting them with sticks. It was hilarious. Anyway, that's my non sequitur.
Speaking of Lego Batman, that actually gives us a transition into our next little piece that's kind of Gotham related, but it's Lego Batman, so it's much better than Gotham. Billy Dee Williams.
Right. Yes.
Finally,
They won't put him in Star Wars, but they'll bring him back in Batman.
Yeah, he gets to play Two-Face. That has been confirmed. He is playing Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie.
Finally, nice. Gets to be Two-Face.
And those of us who remember back in the day, and Tim and I talked about this on H2O this week, just a little bit, just to tease tonight's show, the fact that Billy Dee Williams was playing Harvey Dent in the first Tim Burton movie had people kind of excited, kind of looking forward to seeing what Billy Dee Williams would do as Two-Face, and he never got the chance to do it. And the only reason that he took the job in the first place
was to play Two-Face.
And after the first two movies, when they completely changed everything and went off in a different direction, all the contracts were null and void, and he never got his chance. And now he finally gets to play Two-Face.
Do you think
now we get to be excited about two faces? William Shatner,
yes,
as Two-Face in the Batman 66 sequel.
Yep,
and then Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie.
Do you think they'll make the Two-Face look like Billy Dee Williams from the Batman movie?
Have you seen? Have you not seen the minifig? They have pictures of the minifig up.
I've seen two. Really? I've seen two different ones.
And he looks as much like Billy Dee Williams as a minifig looks like anybody.
Right.
I like the design. I think it's
It's like Barbara Gordon in Lego Batman kind of looks a little bit like Rosario Dawson, who's playing Barbara Gordon. So. Huh. I think they try to honor the cast member that's doing it a little bit.
In the trailer, there's a huge group of villains, and they were all like C-list Batman villains. Did you see that? Kite Man's going to be in there.
Oh, really? Kite Man,
Polka Dot Man, Crazy Quilt.
They're doing the new.
I love me some Crazy Quilt.
the Calendar Man.
The collector minifigs are all those B-level villains. It's great. Cool. The thing that I'm about Lego Batman that I was a little disappointed in when I first saw the pictures of this character design, and I saw glasses and red hair on a Robin. I was like,
Carrie Kelly.
Oh my freaking!
Carrie Kelly, yeah.
But dude, that's gonna be amazing. I can't believe they're gonna do this in a Batman. But no. And I was a little like, no, don't do that. Be cool, Batman. Legos, come on.
And there's another scene in the Batcave, and it has the 1940s Batmobile, the one with the Bat Shield.
Yeah,
Shield. I don't know, but. It has all the original Batmobiles.
Oh, yeah. There are so many callbacks and Easter eggs and shout-outs and whatnot in that that it's not even funny. It's going to be a good film, I think.
Well, and if you've ever played the games are chocked full of little Easter eggs and stuff like that, too. Yeah.
Speaking of Easter eggs,
I think it's more like the games are Easter eggs with a little bit of plot thrown in.
Speaking of Easter eggs, there were plenty of them in the big Fortnite crossover, but we'll talk about a few of those after the break. But one thing that I wanted to touch on real quick, just the news came out today. Aquaman has a release date now.
2018, right?
October 5th. 2018. So mark your calendars. Jason Momoa hits the screen as Aquaman.
Calendar smart. I already took time off of work. All of my friends can't talk to me unless they're coming with me. This is my day.
And speaking of villains coming to the shows, we got word also today that Supergirl not only gets the Dominators again later on this season, but also is going to get a visit from Mr. Mix Yezpitlick.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not see that. That's exciting.
Yes, that news broke today. There is no cast member yet. They don't have a script, but He's coming.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
And we'll talk about that. We'll kick around some ideas for casting when we come back. What we're going to do now, we're going to take a break and fill coffee mugs and whatnot. And when we come back, the Super Friends assemble. The world's and actually, they did at one point got called the world's mightiest heroes.
Yeah, I saw that.
So funny. Yeah. All right, we're gonna be back right after this.
We wear our underwear on the inside of our clothes, just like Superman does now. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Jedi, Sith, Tauntauns. No matter which side of the Force you claim, we are your go-to holocron for all the latest Star Wars news, rumors, and innuendo. Imperial Intelligence has got nothing on us. We've got your salacious crumbs every other Sunday at 6 p.m. Central U.S. exclusively on Sci-Fi for Me TV.
SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse. And may the Force be with you.
I'm meteorologist Brian Busby. If you're traveling to a convention this weekend, especially if you're a cosplayer, it helps to know what the weather's going to be like. Rain and fur don't mix very well, now do they? That's why every week, Sci-Fi for Me gives you the weather forecast for every city hosting a convention. Those we have on our list, anyway. And that's worldwide, not just in the United States. It's part of our commitment to bring you content you won't find anywhere else. Just click on the Conventions tab over at SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Back on the Rogues Gallery, and now it is time to talk about that which we all want to talk about.
Yes.
Because Dustin actually watched all four CW shows this week.
I did.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay.
Congratulations.
I was super ironic and hipster about it, though. I was like, I didn't watch these shows before it was cute. So.
Now, I did see somebody, and I can't remember the name, where I saw a thread somewhere where somebody actually was complaining about the crossover, basically saying, well, I don't know why this crossover was all these other shows. They should have just kept it on one show because I just watched Supergirl, and I don't watch the rest of these shows. It was like,
missing the point.
Yeah.
The word crossover, I don't think it means what you think it means. You know?
Yeah.
You're like,
I don't watch Arrow or Flash or Legends of whoever.
Legends of Tomorrow.
But I watched all those shows this week just so I could get the whole story as it was.
Yeah. Yep. And yes, the Hall of Justice
made an appearance.
And it is there. And I would say that it's probably now going to be their base of operations.
So
maybe.
Awesome.
Are we going to have spoilers?
Geeky. I loved it.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
it
that
was
fun.
Great.
Well, and come to find out, and I didn't even know this until this week, they were talking about the fact that the original Hall of Justice in the Super Friends cartoon, the design was based on the train station in Cincinnati. And
Yeah, I did hear about that.
And Kreisberg, I think it was Kreisberg, talks about, he remembered somebody had mentioned that it was based on that. So they actually went to Cincinnati.
Got the
establishing shots and then doctored them up in CG for the stuff. Because the fountain is still the fountain is actually part of the landscape in front of the train station.
That's great.
And it's now a museum. But
Which, by the way, looks like a great place to have a superhero wedding. So, you know, boys, anyone interested, I'm down for it. I'll be there for you. Yeah. Doesn't even have to be a lasting marriage.
That's a great thing for your match profile. You know, your match.com profile is like, we'll get married to anybody who will take me to the Cincinnati.
Yeah, hey boys, find me on Bumble. Well, I mean, that doesn't help because I'd have to hit you first, but.
Yeah.
Jen, let's dress up real nice and just take pictures outside of it.
We'll do a road trip. We'll record Rogues Gallery live from the Hall of Justice.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it be something?
That would be amazing.
Now, yesterday we were talking about different ways that
I have a van too.
We do have a Patreon account, so people could give us money to pay for the gas
to make
the trip to Cincinnati. Yes. To take the photos and record a podcast at the Hall of Justice. I'm for it. I'm down for it.
And to fund me and Jen's fake wedding.
Yes.
Yeah, me and Jen.
Create the costumes. Build the costumes.
There we go. All right. So where do we start? I mean, a lot of people were complaining about the fact that Supergirl wasn't really a crossover episode. Yeah. But right.
mid-season finale. Like, didn't Guggenheim, like, explicitly say more than once that it wasn't going to be?
Then they should have not had all the ads on all the shows saying Super Fortnite event.
Except the way the promo ran, it said the Fortnite event starts with Supergirl, and it actually started with Supergirl.
And technically they weren't lying.
Yeah.
I can go get you some tweezers if you want to split that hair a little bit more.
And if you look at last week's episode of Supergirl, she was nowhere near ready for the crossover she was in this episode.
I mean, her character was, or her television show was shoehorned into this crossover.
Yeah.
You know, there was really no setup for
it. I think part of it is the fact that that you had to do the way the scheduling worked out.
Yeah.
Her mid-season finale is this episode.
Right.
And every other show, the mid-season finale is next week.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out to where the, you know, the Medusa episode is a part two of the one that happened the week before with Cyborg, Superman, and all of this other stuff that they've got to resolve. So they got all these threads they got to tie up.
Was ridiculous.
Yes, it was.
Did anyone get the Superman 78 callback with the rocket launcher?
I did not get that.
Yes, now that you mention it, I do know, because, you know, you can't save them both, Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You have to choose one now,
but I didn't get it then.
I didn't either.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, James. In addition to that silky smooth voice you got over there, you're picking up on some fine details.
Speaking of,
and you make me watch my
super
mouth.
Super people.
Yes,
speaking of super people, I liked Ray Palmer's line in the Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that they look like.
Looks like my cousin.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like my cousin.
I laughed out loud sitting in my living room.
I waited the entire week for that gag. I was like, okay, somebody's got to say it at some point. Where is it?
Yeah. It has to be. Yeah, it has to be there.
And last week, you know, we've had some other callbacks to the Super Friends over the last couple of weeks because Wynn actually called him and Jimmy's partnership the Super Friends,
uh-huh.
and Jimmy's like, no, we're not going to call it that. HR has done a shout out for, I think, it wasn't World's Finest, but it was the other. There was another team up name, All Star team up, I think, he used,
uh-huh.
and then of course we've got all of this this week. But in Legends of Tomorrow, I think last week or the week before, when Nate Haywood comes up with this time seismograph thing, so he can see, you know, get a warning for time aberrations, and Ray Palmer called it the trouble alert. Which is what the Super Friends alarm system was back in the 70s.
Gotcha.
So all of these different callbacks throughout the last couple of weeks, and then to see, you know, the Star Labs facility as the new base, as the Hall of Justice.
Yeah,
there it is. Mm-hmm. It was so funny.
So why is the Super Friends now getting all the credibility?
Before we get to the first
Justice League TV show ever?
I think it was, but it always gets ragged on. It was my introduction into comics.
Well, the Super Friends, for a lot of people,
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was mine.
Yep.
Yeah. That one's. But I was a
Kathy Garver, who played Firestar, mm-hmm. was Sissy on Family Affair.
Right.
Yep.
Didn't she just recent?
She's still alive.
I'm not going to say that because I would have to.
No, she's still alive. She was down at Smallville Comic Con last year.
Okay.
Yeah, she's friends with Rick Stacy that we just did an interview with.
Before we get to our hot takes on it and stuff, I just have to say that this is the first time where I was telling Dustin this earlier. There was a line in this last episode that I was all by myself watching it this afternoon, and I mean, I belly laughed.
Yeah.
And that was Mick. When he comes across, at the very end, when he comes across, like, Iskert, call me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, for whatever reason, just because I love his character, yeah. and the reason why I like Legends of Tomorrow is because all of their interaction is character-based,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to mm-hmm. situational.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and most of it comes, a lot of the humor comes from him and Brandon Routh's character.
Somebody put Brussels sprouts on my burger.
He's great. Yeah. He's so enjoyable. I mean, even in the beginning of this crossover, it's like, why do they call you Heatwave? Because I burned my family alive.
Yeah.
I like fire. You know what I'm just like? I'm not calling you Supergirl.
Yeah,
I'm not calling you.
I love that.
I'll refer you a skirt.
Well, okay.
Yeah. And so I just had to get that out now forever. I know Dustin and I talked earlier. He has a really good take on this that I enjoyed. So if he wants to start off, go ahead.
Okay, so the way I kind of saw these episodes was, you know how, okay, let's use Secret Wars, even though it's the wrong company, as our example. Secret Wars mm-hmm. will be the comic book. Secret Wars. And, like, there are issues of the Secret Wars, and it's a limited series.
Yeah.
And then all the characters who are in the Secret Wars still have their own comic books. So there's still, you know, Spider-Man and X-Men and whatever, and they'll say on the cover, like, a special tie-in to the Secret Wars. Mm. But it's really not, because they're still kind of doing what they would be doing anyway. And every once in a while, somebody will say, gee, I'm so secrety about this war. And then they just kind of go, that's how I felt about this. Like, we were watching the individual. I wanted to watch the limited series, the Invasion limited series, where the stories were broken out over 4 hours so we could have this really intense 4-day miniseries. But instead, we got an episode of each show that kind of tied in to what we were talking about.
I agree with you there. That's exactly how I felt about this, Mike. Oh, it's an episode of Arrow featuring...
Yeah.
Well, now, see, Arrow ran into the same thing that Supergirl was running into, because, you know, Supergirl's got the mid-season finale, Arrow's got the 100th episode. So there's that retroactive, the retrospective aspect of that, which is one of the reasons why they did the whole It's a Wonderful Life thing.
But see... Okay, here's what I said this to Kendall. I would have much rather – they could have done all of those different threads. You know, we're sending some dudes back in time to the last time that the Dominators were here to see if we can find out what we know. Mm-hmm. A couple of us got kidnapped and are now in a virtual reality world. A couple of us got mind-controlled and are now fighting the other guys. And then, you know – all of a sudden my sister's a lesbian. All those threads could have been – you know, in there.
Bisexual. She's bisexual.
No, Alex is full on lesbian.
Oh, you're talking about Alex.
Said it.
Yeah. No,
not Sarah.
I thought we were talking about Sarah.
No, I was going back, even though, because Supergirl wasn't really involved really in this.
Right.
I was just throwing her little storyline in there anyway. And they could have taken the time and made each of those their like a thread to go throughout these 4 hours, and I don't think they would have felt so rushed.
More like a mini series?
Yes.
You think it felt rushed?
I felt, yeah. Oh my gosh, every, like.
Yeah, I felt rushed.
Yeah, it was really rushed.
I didn't really feel that way, but then again, I knew beat for beat how this was going to go, so.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. when you get to the Legends of Tomorrow episode, everything that was established in the first three episodes suddenly gets wrapped up. Then you have the entire fight scene and all the, you know, the everything. Yes, this is how television works. I mean, when you've got a story arc, everything gets resolved in the last episode. Yes, but there was so much crammed into that last episode.
Right.
And it just felt like, you know, okay, the Dominators are here, and it's going to be terrible, and they're defeated by.
Right. And I also...
A rooftop garage. That was weird.
And I felt like once they gave the, like, characters would come in and then, like, do their thing and then go out, and they did that with characters that they definitely should not have done that to. They did that with Supergirl. She had, like, they brought her in, and they're like, well, what's Supergirl going to do? She's almost practically a god. Let's have her train us. And so then she does her little train thing and
then vanishes.
And vanishes. And then comes back at the end and is like, hey, I can run really fast. I can, like, do fast stuff, too. I could, like, do the thing.
Well, no, because after the training, then, you know, you had the whole mind control part. And
but
then
that was
she and
all,
Flash.
Single bit of that was wrapped up in the Flash.
Yeah.
Every single bit of that. So she disappeared almost completely. She showed up and punched somebody in Arrow, and then she showed up and went fast in Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
They treated her like those weird dudes who were in Arrow. Like, I don't know who those three dudes were that just, like, are standing around in costumes.
Oh, well, that's
Wild Dog, Ragman, and Mr. Terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Team Arrow 2.0. That's the new recruit.
They should have focused on Supergirl, The Flash, and Arrow, and maybe that weird lady from Legends of Tomorrow that always looks like she's wet. Why does that lady always look like she's wet?
Yeah. Oh, Sarah?
Too much gel.
Yeah, White Canary. Yeah,
White Canary. Or
I guess I don't watch the show. she looks like she was wet all the time.
Wait,
like,
who's the guy who looks like Sportsmaster?
Well, that was Deathstroke.
Oh, Wild Dog.
Wild Dog.
Oh, Wild Dog, yeah. Well, and I wonder how much of that was logistics, because a couple of episodes back,
surely there's got to be something budget and.
Well, there's budget, there's schedule, because Melissa Benoist was only able to do the other three shows by us getting the episode that focused on Jimmy Olsen and Wynn doing their whole Guardian thing.
Well,
for that episode, she was gone off shooting these three, and then she's got to get back to shoot her own show. If you're going to do something like this, why not? This is close to the mid-season finales, and of course, it's the crossover episodes. It's episode 8, so it's always got to be episode 8. That's their tradition now. But it would make more sense, maybe, for them to do this as a standalone. You think,
or next year when it's time for the crossover, the four night event, plan it a little better. Like,
I think they will.
What?
Actually, it would be a three night event because is moving to Tuesday.
Legends is moving to Tuesday, yes, but it'll still be across four shows. And there's nothing that says that Legends is going to be on Tuesdays after the Flash. Next season, I mean, they could change up the entire schedule because maybe Friday we get another DC show.
And isn't Legends the lowest rated of the four?
It is. So there's a possibility it may not even be back next year.
There. Yeah, and it's a really fun show.
Now there's still
despite my hatred for White Canary.
Yeah, but there's still some talk about
if Brandon Routh loses another job, I'll marry him at the Hall of Justice.
That could be his new thing.
What do you hate about White Canary?
Marry Superman at the Hall of Justice, $50.
Because
right?
I don't like White Canary because she
always looks like she's wet. What's wrong with that lady?
She's just not my type of character, I guess. I don't know. It's just one of those. It started with this because remember I didn't watch the first season.
Right.
I missed out on it.
Well, and she started in Arrow, so she's got even longer history than just Legends.
And we all know I didn't watch Arrow, so
she was the first Black Canary.
But she so my introduction to her was the first episode of this season. And I was like, wow, is this her entire purpose of this show is to just go and have a lesbian hookup all throughout history?
Yeah, that was completely...
Like it was like three times in that first episode.
That was completely out of character for her.
Yeah, and so I remember I texted you right after. I was like, what a despicable character. I was like, I can't believe they're doing that. In this day and age, I can't believe they're doing that, where they're making her just... Kendall. And Jason was like, no, go back, go on Netflix, watch the first season.
Kendall.
She's trained by the League of Assassins. I mean,
she's grown on me.
Yeah. Kendall.
Yes.
Just be honest. If you could go and have lesbian hookups all through history, wouldn't you do it?
We actually did an interview at Worldcon.
Don't make me be honest.
With the people who made there's a new web series. No, it's a book. It's a book series called Time Bangers, and it actually is exactly that. Time travelers going to find various different historical figures with whom they could canoodle. So that's the entire premise of their.
So
their
it was story. Annoying.
Right
that
now,
she,
I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to go back in time.
It's like she has to oogle on Supergirl, and then she has to say, "Oh,
yeah,
the president's
it does.
Hot."
It
and
does. It's like they have to.
Well,
I just don't understand why they have to emphasize.
Actually,
it's like the only thing they emphasize.
It's the only thing they do. It's like, Jason said, it's like she's trained by the League of Assassins. This one character trait does not define her.
Can I just for 1 second break in here as the resident queer person. I feel like
I wouldn't call you the token because considering I swing both ways, but
yeah. Well, we've been having this lovely conversation and I've enjoyed it greatly. I've been on Scruff this whole time, like looking at dudes and like when I'm with my friends and I see somebody who's hot, I always say to them, look at that hot dude over there.
You know what? That's fair.
That dude is hot.
That's fair. I mean, I'm a guy, when I'm with my guy friends, we make comments.
I don't think, yeah, I don't think it's restricted to just, but I'm not even talking about real life, but when I'm out with my friends,
I'm going to say that another girl is, you know, yeah. like, oh my God, if I could look like that, or, you know, like, dude, check out her legs or something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come from a, you know, like
a sensual place.
Hey, you know, I mean,
jump on that.
Right,
you know,
right before this, you know, I was talking about, you know, who plays Steve Amell.
Stephen Amell,
you know, and I was, because again, I don't watch Arrow. I'm familiar with the show, right. but I don't really watch it. This is my first experience. Like, first of all, he's a good character, you know, and stuff like that. And then I was like, and he's a dish, you know, it's like, he's a good looking guy, you know, he's a,
I don't know, he's getting a little doughy.
I'll disagree with you about the.
He is getting a little doughy. Yeah,
they made a point.
I thought it was just Mick and Mick trying to bond with Sarah some more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? That's what I thought.
She was standing right there, and he was like,
that part didn't really. I mean, it really didn't bother me that much because I've grown to like these characters. Right. So she's grown on me.
But I get your point though, because they did the same thing with Maggie Sawyer.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Let's put right front and center that she's a lesbian, and that defines her character. And yeah. it's, that's the wrong way to approach these characters.
We didn't talk at all about Supergirl at all. Like what happened in that show?
Well, let's talk about Supergirl.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Let's start there.
I watch with my kids.
Uh-huh.
And this week they said we were watching it and they were like, this show's become a kissing show.
Uh-oh.
Do we it have has. To?
Maybe that was always my fear.
Watch this show, everybody's kissing. Yep. And I was like, it's not going to be like this. It's just this one episode where two different, because like, Mon-El kissed Kira. Yeah. And Arkara, and then Maggie and Alex kissed, and so, you know.
I think the beginning of the episodes was just, they didn't know what they were doing. It just didn't feel right.
On this episode?
Oh, with the Medusa virus?
The beginning,
virus?
Just, no, not before they
with
had
the Thanksgiving
Medusa.
Meal?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Where they said, we have so a family awkward. Tradition where we go around the table and say what we're thankful for, and I was like 85% of the rest of the country? Is that your tradition?
Well, also, last season, their Thanksgiving episode was interrupted in the middle of dinner for some crazy thing to happen. So right. I liked that they were carrying it on with, like, this is a family trying to parse out some normal, just like everyone else,
yeah.
on Thanksgiving, and something crazy comes up and right. makes everything
as is prone to do well, when you're a Kryptonian.
Last year wasn't when she got hit with the red kryptonite. It was
what happened? I remember that Alex had to tell her mother. She had to come out to her mother that she worked for the
DEO. That's right.
And that was a big thing. And
this was another coming out.
Yeah. What was the other thing that happened? There was another thing that ruined Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner, which I thought
was it. Oh, what was it called when everyone was mind controlled? What was that called?
Yeah, but that was toward the end of the season.
So. Tim, Google it. Do it now.
Is he even here?
Yeah, he's still here.
Tim vanishes.
Have we lost him?
He sits quietly.
I'm just. You know what? I talk on a ton of podcasts. It's always nice to have you guys talk.
Well, I know that you've got Wikipedia open, looking at this because that's what you do when we're doing Zompocalypse Now.
Available on iTunes and podcast.com.
Someone other than Tim could Google it. I mean, I'm not gonna, but...
I have to say my favorite part of the Thanksgiving scene...
Google person. Actually, I'm downloading video clips, so, you know, my computer's tied up.
My favorite part of the scene was when Alex has the beer,
on the video
Kara
clips.
Takes it away, and then Kara was talking to her mom, and Alex just sneaks behind
like
them
that
and
too.
Takes the beer.
And I did... I think I've come around on Alex's coming out... Because this episode did a lot for me on, you know, on that whole, on her kind of coming to terms with the fact that she might have decided to do this for the wrong reasons because she liked Maggie, but she's really come into, like, this makes sense. Now that I've realized this, all the things about my life are now coming more into focus.
Right.
And that's kind of how it is. So, you know, I thought that was good.
Did Maggie and Alex getting together happen organically, or does it feel like we're throwing it together for the shippers?
Much more organically than Mon-El and Kara, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so too.
Or much more organically than mom solving the.
Everything. Helen Slater fixes everything. Just keep that in mind. I am terrified. I'm terrified of every time Maggie Sawyer shows up and there's a refrigerator in the background.
Yeah.
So, me too. You know, I would much rather super chic and stylish butch lesbian Kathy Kane show up and whisk her back to Gotham than for anything else horrible to happen to her, because I know something is going to happen.
Oh, don't cheat her like that.
Well, as they said, this time the bullet brought the lesbians together.
And it's been like so publicized over the last year, that whole, you know, the dead gay person trope. I don't think I feel like everybody is pretty aware of it. So,
well, given that that this show has made a point of trying to do it differently in terms of representation and presentation and what kind of stories they're telling, I don't think they're going to kill Maggie Sawyer off.
No, because we have to have Batwoman.
Well, you could.
The problem, Jason.
Yeah.
The problem is that every now and again, all of these shows hits the wrong note in, like, with a sledgehammer. For as much fun as these shows have been, as much fun as and as interesting as The Flash can be, you know, Barry is occasionally the stupidest smart person in the world.
Yeah. What was that? Yeah. Then they called him a adorable dummy or something.
Oh, and they keep telling him that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as much fun and cheerful and happy and upbeat as Supergirl often is, I mean, it's really one of the most fun superhero shows out there. Every now and again, whether it's the initial, you know, coming out moment that we all felt was played so odd, you know, they miss the mark in a way which is just
this,
stunning.
The last,
and of course, the Green Arrow is an example of, you know, how much can we make this dark and gritty and just horrible every now and again?
Ugh. Yeah, so
there's that part of me that part of my brain going in the background screaming, every now and again they screw up really bad.
Yeah,
and they recover. All these shows have ended up recovering from those moments pretty well.
I think for me, one of those moments was Hank Henshaw sitting there going, "I'm Cyborg Superman."
Yeah,
yeah,
that was horrible.
That was horrible.
The last like three or four episodes of Supergirl, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it just hasn't been right.
Yeah,
a lot of it is what I didn't even think about. I mean, good grief, I didn't think about it. You know, it's like anytime you take her off screen.
Yeah,
and the Flash is kind of the same way. The Flash has a little bit better of a supporting cast, but we really saw it in this crossover who the stars are.
Mm-hmm.
She is a star. Grant Gustin is a star. Stephen Amell is a star. These people captivate you. They bring you in. You don't find us saying a lot of negative things about it because they fill the screen.
Right. I like the Felicity Smote. Whoever plays her,
Emily Bett Richards.
She's delightful.
She is delightful.
I want her.
I disagree on both Stephen Amell being good Felicity Smoke.
But I think he holds the frame.
He does hold the frame, and I think Felicity is much better now that she's actually back to being Felicity rather than Boohoo Felicity.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Ugh. Last season, Felicity.
I blame Mon-El.
I find Mon-El very boring.
He is a anvil dragging you under.
I'm with you now, Kit. Like, after this last episode, I'm with you 100%.
And I did not think I would.
I am in your camp.
I did not think that I was going to miss Calista Flockhart this much.
Oh yeah,
I miss that newsroom.
Yeah,
I miss.
Well, she. It's so hilarious that Kara is pretending to have any other job. She spends more time up on the executive floor of CatCo than any reporter ever should.
I'm hoping that now that we're past the midseason and now that we're past the four season, you know, the four episode crossover and stuff, I'm hoping that the back half of her show has more of her interacting with Snapper Carr.
That's
I want to see more of that because I like that. They have a good chemistry.
Well,
it's
right.
Fun
now,
to watch them.
Carr's doing a baking show on ABC.
Well, look, literally anything having to do with Snapper Carr is always an A.
Yeah.
You can't not like Snapper Carr.
Yeah, because he's J. Jonah Jameson, and you know,
yeah.
We're not going to get that. Because Mon-El is going to fill up the frame, and we had a perfect opportunity this episode.
To kill him off. Get rid of him.
And then she can be with Brainiac.
And they didn't take it.
Yeah.
Look, it's that Supergirl is becoming what I was afraid it was going to become, a romance show where it's just like, mm-hmm. I need a man to fulfill me. No, you're Supergirl. You can save the friggin' world.
Well,
you know, it's just like, but I don't want to see that show because there's, if I want to watch that show, there are hundreds of other shows that I can watch about that. I watch this to see. Now, if it happens organically, because remember the problem that we had with the whole Jimmy Olsen thing was it felt so forced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were just like, talk about breaking from canon.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys.
Although it didn't really.
No, but it's still, it's just one of the, well, if you really, and
I mean,
also if
you
think got to
go
Legion,
back a long way.
Yeah. I don't think that they had a lot of romantic chemistry either. I think that,
no,
those,
that
guys,
and those two actors didn't have
I am disagreeing
it.
With you guys a lot tonight.
That usually happens. That usually happens.
That's fine. We need a foil.
Well, see, the thing about it is that what the whole thing with Kara and Mon-El, she's not looking for a relationship. That's
right.
Something that kind of is a saving grace at that point. It's only when Mom sits there and goes, "Well, you know, Mon-El's into you," and she's like, "No, he's not."
Yeah,
yeah. giggle.
Yeah,
and then
she's like, "Oh my God,
like,
is Mon-El into me?"
It's always from Mon-El's point.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then when he kisses her. And then there's the it's a little bit awkward. And then of course there's the thing at the end where he doesn't remember, quote unquote, so called. I think he does.
Oh yeah, he totally remembers.
And she's playing it off like nothing happened. So he's the one that's disappointed more than she is. But you know, we get a little bit of the what if look on her face. But I don't think she's actively going, "Oh, I need a man."
Yeah. I feel like the show writers are doing that too. Yeah, they're forcing
maybe.
It on us.
Yeah, maybe.
I read a recap of of Supergirl on another website, and they said at the end, anytime that there was anything that had to do with Mon-El, it was just like one line. And then at the very end, it said, "It looks like some space nuns are coming to pick up Mon-El. Maybe we should just sit with them. They seem cool." So,
and that actually leads to the return of the Dominators in Supergirl. We have confirmation from, I think it was Guggenheim, who said that the Dominators will be back. They will be back in Supergirl, and the speculation is that this could play out. There's another storyline in DC that involves the Dominators, the Daxamites, and a couple of other alien races.
Could we see the Reach?
No. I don't think the Reach is coming back. But there's like four or five different alien races that all come to Earth at the same time looking for Mon-El. Or something. I can't remember the title of the story.
Where's Poochie?
But it's, you know, it's, or it's like, what's that children in need thing that BBC just did with Eddie Redmayne? He was trying to call the bear.
I don't know.
The yellow, the anyway. Okay, so.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know that we've talked about this before, but in the comics, who is Mon-El? Who is this person?
He's
okay.
Superboy of Legion of Superheroes,
all
right?
All right. Time for the geek to explain. So
the geek, okay.
I'm the resident comic geek in my circles. Anyway, so what happens is Mon-El, whose real name is Largand, which I'm upset that they didn't use, he crashes to Earth. Basically, he's a Daxamite that, had lead poisoning, and they didn't know what to do, so they just put him in a ship and blasted him off. And he landed on Earth, and Superman cured him of his lead poisoning, but he got amnesia, so they named him Mon-El, because, hey, I'm Kal-El, and it's Mon-Day, so... Yeah. And then he regained his memory, and he was Largand, and then he went off to join the Legion of Superheroes, so...
Well, he's had yeah. Well, he's had a much more complicated thing than that because nobody could figure out what to do with it.
Well, yeah, but that's the short version.
I'm sure he's been rebooted a number of times.
He has, yeah. And actually, Tim went over this 2-3 weeks ago, I think, talking about
basically, you guys know how Hawkman's continuity is completely screwed up. Power Girl's continuity was screwed up forever.
Donna Troy.
Mon-El's continuity is basically right at the same level. It's a disaster.
I gave you the short version because nobody wants. I didn't want to talk for 30 minutes.
You can do just about anything you want with that character and have it be roughly in continuity because it's been all over the place.
Well,
except for what they're doing on this show.
I don't care. Just get him off my Supergirl show.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
But he's a beautiful face and torso.
Well,
I don't care.
Him perfect for the CW, but we don't like him.
I don't particularly care for him either.
How we were talking about Mr. Mixoplick?
Have him.
I have an idea for casting.
Okay. I have one too.
Ed Asner. I'm serious.
Let me go to Google.
I am on board with it.
We just lost our millennial audience.
Not the millennial audience. Because the millennial audience will know Ed Asner in DC lore as Granny Goodness.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yes, the voice
or
of Granny
Santa
Goodness
from Elf.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't want to talk about that.
That would be great.
I don't think he looks the part.
No, he doesn't.
No, not at all. Not even a little bit, Jeff. Are you okay?
He doesn't look like Mixed Yespitlick at all.
He can adjust the look.
Do you have a sore tooth or something? Something's not right with your medulla oblongata right now, Jeff.
He still has
white hair and everything like that. And
Give me 2 years, I'll have white hair.
What actors do we know who are about 3 feet tall with a giant head?
Warwick Davis.
Peter Dinklage.
That's going to be CGI, Tim. Duh.
I think she's right.
Peter Dinklage. That would actually be awesome.
Could do it. Warwick Davis could do it.
I don't think he'd slum it on the CW.
Who's your idea, Dustin?
Leslie Jordan.
Leslie Jordan.
Have you seen his movie
as Mr. Mixyespitlick?
He does on film all the time.
Yes.
Who is Leslie Jordan?
He's the little pocket gay that was on Will and Grace, the tiny little old dude.
Pocket gay. Is that something I'm not familiar with?
Was he the landlord?
No, hang on.
I guess I don't hang out with enough gay people. Okay. Maybe.
Is he
still alive?
Dustin is much closer.
He's a little tiny. He's like 4'5".
I think maybe
he's
got it.
Whimsical and bizarre, and he wears little suits, and I love him.
Look at his little crossed legs.
He
actually does have the look. I think he could be Mixyespitlick.
Now, would they do?
What is a pocket gay? This is bothering me.
You can look it up after the show.
Now, would they do the classic yellow and purple, or purple suit?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I had an old friend of mine named Susan who was the world's tiniest lesbian. You could actually carry her around in your pocket. She's tiny. So I think it's probably akin to what a pocket gay is.
Okay. Boy, this is really going to mess up my Google history, by the way, guys.
Okay, well,
I'm going to start getting a lot of really weird Google ads.
I don't want that on my computer.
Now that the show
it's
has
not
completely...
As terrifying as it just means a short gay person.
Yes, okay, well, now that the show has completely gone off the rails, it's time to wrap up. Because
I do want to say something about the Flash episode. At the end.
What?
The abduction scene.
Make it
two things about it. The transportation looks like Zeta Beams.
Okay.
Yeah. You remember Zeta Beams? Okay.
Yeah.
And everyone from Arrow was abducted, except for Felicity.
Felicity wasn't outside.
Yes, she was.
And she wasn't one of the heroes. And the only ones that got grabbed were the non-metahuman superheroes that were fighting on the team. She wasn't actually fighting. She was just there. All right. Any last relevant?
I think the last ten minutes.
The parallels between Cisco and Diggle, and Stein and Barry. Mm-hmm. I liked the way that they had similar arcs and the way that they were dealing with it differently.
Yep.
Each one of them were handling it their own way. Because Stein now has a daughter that he didn't know about because he went and messed up the timeline.
Unintentionally,
but he did. And so he's dealing with that just like Barry's dealing with the whole Flashpoint thing. And everybody's mad at Barry for that. And but Cisco is now mended with Barry again, and Diggle's okay with Barry changing things too now. But yeah, they were still, I just like the parallels between different characters on different shows struggling with similar things.
Mm-hmm. The last 10 minutes of Legends of Tomorrow, last night's episode,
yep,
the last 10 minutes of it, where you had the wrap up and you had all the witty, you had a lot of witty stuff in there. You had a lot of good little one-liners and things like that. But at the end of the day, walking away from the conversations were the leads from all the shows.
Yep.
And to Dustin's point, that's what this show, this crossover needed to be, because you need to encourage me to watch Arrow. You need to encourage me to watch these other shows and stuff like that. And you have, now, Legends is an ensemble show, but you have three charismatic, great leads.
Well, and I thought it was appropriate that the last scene was Oliver and Barry, because that's where this whole thing started. And it was a missed opportunity here.
I mean, they still call it the Arrowverse.
Right. But there's a missed opportunity in that scene, in that last bit, because when you have the new president, that should have been Linda Carter.
Exactly.
That should have been Linda Carter.
And they put them all in the same universe already.
I like the fact that it's separate.
I like Oliver's line.
Well, even if they're separate, you could still have Linda Carter be the new president. Because,
No. I was just commenting on her point of make it in the same universe already, and I'm like, nah. I mean, I want Linda Carter to be president in both universes, but I don't want them to be the same universe.
I have this bizarre feeling.
I'll take Linda Carter as president now.
We're gonna let Dustin have the last word, and then we're gonna wrap up.
My pocket gay.
I have this. I'm almost as tall as you, dude. I have this bizarre feeling that next year's four-night event is going to be Crisis on Infinite Earths, where everything pops into one universe.
I want that to be a season-long crossover. If that's the case, you know what I mean. I want that to be our Friday show. You know, like we have every Friday, we have the Crisis show. But we've already talked about this. This is where we want it to go, where the movies and the TV and everything converges. Yep. I want to see these people together, you know, so like that would be really cool.
All right. So those
budget would never allow for it.
Those are our thoughts. You can share your thoughts. Send us an email, roguesgallery@sci-fi4me.com, or you can leave a comment on all the social media. And that's going to do it for us this time out. I want to thank the panel because we had a lot of people tonight. Hopefully everybody got a chance to say something. I want to thank everybody. Catherine Sanders.
Bye.
Jennifer Wise.
Email serious marriage proposals.
Ann Labs.
Good night, all.
Dave Margosian.
Toodles.
Jeff Hackworth.
See you on another Earth.
Tim Harvey.
Always a pleasure, guys.
And here in the studio, Dustin Adair.
Google Leslie Jordan.
James Hunt.
Thank you for having me.
Kendall Sin.
This is the first episode of Gotham where they did not say it's complicated.
Oh, I know. And I was waiting for Oliver to say it, too. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks very much for listening, folks. And on behalf of all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, my name is Jason Hunt. Check out sci-fi4me.com for the latest headlines. And if you listen on iTunes, please rate and share so we know that we've got some activity over there. And we will be back with another episode of the Rogues Gallery next week.
This has been a presentation of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Copyright 2016 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.